This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Illinois state lawmakers are making their way back to Springfield as the final stretch of the year's legislative business gets underway. Veto session starts tomorrow, runs through Thursday of this week. Then lawmakers are scheduled to be back in session one last time for the year, November 7th through 9th. Unlike last year, even with Democrats in power in both chambers, and J.B. Pritzker, a Democrat himself, in the governor's chair, there are actual vetoed bills to consider this time around. Meanwhile, lawmakers have other issues they'd still like to get to, from health care accountability to rent control and firearm regulations. Joining us now to talk about what is on the docket in the weeks to come is Jennifer Fuller, broadcast director for the nonprofit news outlet Capital News Illinois. Jen, welcome back to the 21st Show. Good to talk with you.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for talking with me. I appreciate it.
Listeners, as ever, 800-222-9455. If you want to join our conversation today, that's 800-222-9455. All right, Jen, I want to dive right into the issues, and we'll come back to the actual vetoes in a little bit. But, you know, veto session has really become about a lot more than vetoes. So we've talked a lot on our program lately about the ongoing crisis of migrants and asylum seekers in Chicago. Mayor Brandon Johnson had been hoping the state would find some money in the couch cushions to send Chicago's way. What have we been hearing from the powers that be in Springfield about that?
Sure. Well, you're absolutely right. The mayor, the governor, even the Illinois' two U.S. senators have even talked with the White House and said, listen, we need more help for the city of Chicago and surrounding areas where some of these migrants are being bused in, some without even knowing where they're going to turn up when the bus actually stops. And so there was some talk about potentially using, people may remember, there was a surplus at the end of the last fiscal year running up until June 30th. It was about $700 million. So a lot of people have been talking about, well, what are we going to do with that money? And there were several people saying, well, maybe this would be a good answer for that. But that really has been kind of squashed over the last couple of weeks. We hear from both the governor and Speaker Chris Welch saying this isn't going to be on the agenda for the veto session. Now, that doesn't mean that it won't come up later. It just means that it's not on the list for these next couple of weeks.
One of the other issues on the radar of legislators is a private school scholarship program. Now, some listeners may remember this has been around since the Rauner administration. It's going to sunset at the end of the year if there's no action on it. Can you remind us what that does?
Sure. It's the Invest in Kids Scholarship Tax Credit Program. And you're right. It came about during the Rauner administration, a bit of compromise in what was a very contentious relationship between the administration and the legislature. So back in 2017, this was created. And what it does is it gives people who contribute to scholarship funds for private schools a 75% income tax credit. So if you give $100 for a scholarship like this, you can deduct $75 on your income taxes for that year. That is set to sunset, to come to an end at the end of this year. So there's some talk of, will this be extended? Are there changes that can be made that would address some of the problems that critics have with it? And, you know, there's still a lot of back and forth on this. So there's not a real clear picture as to what its future may be.
You know, it's interesting because I see, unions saying this is defunding public schools and, you know, people who support this program saying it's, you know, really gives access to better schools for lower income families. Talk more about the divide between supporters and opponents here. And, you know, if there's an indication of a compromise on the horizon.
That it's a very interesting conversation, and it's one that's really gone on for a long time. Is this, where should public education money go? Should it go to solely to public schools, or is there room for it to go in some sort of public-private partnership or to private schools themselves if parents decide that that's where they think is the best opportunity for their children? Governor Pritzker, for example, said he would sign an extension of the Invest in Kids program. Meanwhile, as you mentioned, as you would expect, teachers unions are saying this is not the way that things should go. Public dollars should be spent on public schools. And so there's some question about, can the threshold be changed? Can there be a way that maybe low-income students could be identified as being the beneficiaries of some of this money? And so there are some details, I think, that people are trying to start to work out on whether or not this is a program that can be modified and continued, or if they have to go back to the drawing board and start all over.
This is the 21st show. We are talking about Illinois' veto session, which gets underway tomorrow in the state legislature in Springfield. There are a number of vetoes lawmakers have to decide about and plenty of other issues on their minds. Not a lot of time to address them. We're talking about all of this with Jennifer Fuller, who's broadcast director for the nonprofit news outlet Capital News Illinois. About just 8 or 9 minutes left in our conversation today. If you want to join us, 800-222-9455 is the number. You know, one thing that some Democratic lawmakers are pushing is a domestic violence firearms bill. What are they hoping to address with that?
People may understand this or have heard of it. It's being dubbed Karina's Bill. It's been named for Karina Gonzalez, who was a woman from Chicago. Her husband is accused of shooting her to death in July, just weeks after she had an order of protection secured. This proposal was left on the floor at the end of the spring session, and because of what happened to Karina Gonzalez, the advocates for it are trying to push it back over the finish line. And so what happens when an order of protection is filed, particularly in cases of domestic violence or domestic abuse? In those cases, the victim can ask for special remedies to be added to that order of protection. And that includes the firearm owner's identification card or FOID card can be suspended for the duration of the order of protection. But the rules that are in place now allow that person to transfer their weapons to someone who has a valid FOID card. And that person could be in the same house with them. So what this specifically would do is when domestic violence orders of protection are issued and they include a firearm remedy, one of the rules that would happen is that law enforcement would seize the firearms within 48 hours of that restraining order being filed. And the judge could be explicitly empowered to issue a warrant for the officers to go and get those guns. It's complicated and it's nuanced, and there are a lot of things that have to be worked out to make sure that all the parties involved are represented and their voices heard.
All right, so let's turn now to the actual vetoes of the veto session. This has been pretty unusual during the years of the Pritzker administration because the Democrats have had supermajorities, I think, throughout his entire run as governor, and they've only gotten bigger over the years. So you haven't seen a lot of these, but this year there was a veto, specifically an amendatory veto over from Pritzker over a provision in an energy bill regarding the right of first refusal for transmission line construction. I promise I was speaking English there. What does that mean?
Well, in simple terms, people may remember that in the Illinois Constitution, the governor is granted two opportunities to veto. One of them is a full veto of a bill. The other is an amendatory veto. And so what the governor can do is go into a specific bill and veto certain parts of the legislation that he or she finds to be problematic in some way. And that's what happened here. This was a much broader energy bill that passed the legislature, but this right of first refusal would give downstate utilities, utilities like Ameren, Illinois, for example, the right of first refusal when it comes to bids on construction for new power lines, power transmission lines, those long distance lines. And the governor, in his amendatory veto, said the proposal eliminates competition and could cause...
These would be like to connect like a wind farm in Iowa with central Illinois, sure, or something, just as a hypothetical. Yeah.
Sure. And so the governor says, you know, this eliminates competition. It potentially raises costs for the ratepayers. And so there, again, he's sending it back for further consideration for potential updates to that language. One of the things that we hear from a union representative from the Illinois Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, the IBEW, they said, you know, what we're trying to make sure here is that if there's going to be construction in Illinois, that it goes to Illinois jobs, to Illinois workers. And so they have to work out some language there for sure to be able to reach a constitutional override. This was not a veto-proof majority when it passed the House and the Senate, though it was bipartisan. So they'll have to either get more votes on this bill to override it, or they're going to have to go back and get some compromise and go back at it a different way.
Interesting. Well, one of the other outright vetoes that Pritzker issued, this was another energy-related bill. It would have ended the state's ban or moratorium on building new nuclear reactors. Can you remind us of the problem that Governor Pritzker had with that?
Sure. So we need to remember, too, that these aren't the nuclear reactors that people are familiar with in today's energy world. These are advanced nuclear reactors. In many cases, they're a lot smaller, a lot more efficient, and work in different ways. But at the end of the day, Governor Pritzker did veto the bill. And, you know, he says he sees potential in new nuclear energy, but he had problems with regulatory protections and environmental protections for the people who live and work in and around those reactors, regardless of how large they are or how big they are. This all came about because back in the 80s, the Illinois legislature put a moratorium on new nuclear construction because there were questions at the federal level about where and how to store spent nuclear fuel. That question still hasn't been answered. So the moratorium is still in place. This would have lifted it for new projects, but it seems like there are still questions that need to be answered before it can really get across that threshold.
Yeah, well, I won't ask you to predict the future, but I mean, this bill did have bipartisan support in the spring, and we've already seen the sponsor, Republican State Senator Sue Resin of Morris, file the paperwork to start the override process. Do you have a sense from lawmakers if there's an appetite to override the governor on this?
Not just the override process, but Senator Resin also filed an entirely new bill with the same language as the original bill. She's that really strongly in support of it and thinks that it needs to be moved forward. It passed initially with veto-proof majorities in the House. In the Senate, it's right on the bar of a veto-proof majority. So, you know, it may be that the conversation still has to be had, particularly on the Senate side, to figure out whether or not this bill can really get to where it needs to go, or if there's a veto override even on the table.
Well, last thing I want to ask you about is just sort of a broad-based, what sort of other things are you watching for? There were a couple of other vetoes, there are a couple of other issues. I don't know if you just want to pick a few of them, and we have about 2 minutes left in our conversation.
This is one of those gazing into the crystal ball kind of questions, of course, because the veto session, as you mentioned at the start of this, has really turned away from addressing vetoes themselves to, in some cases, teeing up issues for the next spring session or trying one more time to get something through that didn't pass in the spring. And of course, there are lots of different rules when it comes to how those bills have to be passed, when they can take effect, because it's after the spring session's deadline. But so it's at Capital News Illinois, for example, we're watching the legislature needs to work on maps for a new elected Chicago school board. It's been several decades since Chicago's school board was elected, but now they are going back and in two elections, putting the board back together, elected by the voters and not appointed by the city's mayor. Well, you have to draw maps in order to do that. And that's still not complete. And those go to the voters next year. So it's very important that that gets addressed, if not completed, in the veto session. There are tax break issues. There is an amendatory veto that the lawmakers could take a look at when it has to do with public-private partnerships within the Illinois Toll Highway Authority and the Department of Transportation. But the amendatory veto has to do with those public-private partnerships at a county or city level. And the governor said that transparency is an issue there and anti-corruption requirements have to be included in there. So there are a lot of things that lawmakers are going to have to take a look at. And there are those things, you know, Brian, you you've been there through the veto session, you know that one day you just pop up and there's this new piece of legislation that no one was expecting. So we're kind of keeping our eyes and ears open for that as well.
Yes, many, many late, late nights during the veto session. And at this point, I will just say better you than me. Jen Fuller is broadcast director for the nonprofit Capital News Illinois. Thanks so much for being with us.
Glad to be here.
And that is all the time we have for our show today. Coming up on tomorrow's program, Governor J.B. Pritzker is finding ways to raise his profile across the country. For now, he's still the governor of Illinois, and we'll talk with the author of a recent profile of Pritzker in the New Yorker magazine about what the governor's done in office and whether a presidential run may be in his future. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thank you for listening. We will talk with you again tomorrow.